Good day once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for rejoining us on today's segment of Christian Conservative Radio. Your host, as usual, Pastor Bob Peterson, and myself, Spokane City Councilman Mike Fagan. How are you getting along today, Pastor Bob?
Well, I usually say okay.
Yeah, I know.
I'm doing better than okay. Oh, my gosh. You know, there's always problems out there. Everybody has family problems. Everybody has these kind of things and stuff. This time it was the dog dying, you know, but my daughter's dog. But it survived. It's okay. It was eating regular today. I mean, I know that's not very important in the whole things going on in the world. But, you know, I am very troubled, Mike, all the things that are going on in the world right now.
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you, it is definitely getting scary out there. I mean, prophecy seems to be knocking right at our front door. I mean, you know, we're starting to see things that were predicted 2,000 years ago happening now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you.
Even back to Ezekiel. You know, saying the nations are going to be doing all this dastardly stuff, and now they're 2,700 years later, those things are happening right now as they were predicted and said.
You betcha.
Leading to this world conflict. I don't know what the times are, you know, we don't need to be in fear. And, of course, our scriptures today we're going to get to are going to talk a lot about this, Mike. But I'll tell you, it's rough on the Christians out there right now. We sit here and worry about where we're going to go to eat and what we're going to do, and other people who don't have food, they're being persecuted, they're being killed. They're methodically killing them in Iraq and Syria and the Christians in Africa. And now this huge persecution that's come up in China.
Absolutely. You bet.
And so, you know, they're trying to knock down the Christian movement is affecting people want democracy over there. They want freedom. And so you see this in Hong Kong going on right now. But I'll tell you, the Christian influence says, I want freedom, you know, because God gives man freedom. And so there's an inward desire with everyone with freedom.
Oh, you bet. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, you know, again, this show, and thank you for joining us, especially all you new listeners out there. We are hoping that after you hang with us for today's show, you'll be reaching out to your friends, family, coworkers, congregation members. Let them know that Pastor Bob and I are here every noon Saturday on 106.5 FM in the Spokane Coeur d'Alene corridor, as well as five other affiliate stations. We are heard all over eastern Washington, northeastern Oregon, the northern panhandle of Idaho, and western Montana. And I'll tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, it is definitely a God thing. We are seeing success in the election cycles. You know, we've had over 5,000 people sign up so that we could get you guys together in your own geographical areas there on Rally Right. You folks can log on like we're going to encourage you to do so. www.rallyright.org. Again, rallyright.org. You got to log on, check out the resource information there. Who knows? Maybe there's something there that will spark the interest, motivate and inspire you folks out there to come together and develop once you search out somebody who you feel might be a good Christian conservative leader. And I'll tell you something, folks, for a little over a year now, Pastor and Bob and I, we have served up wonderful examples of Christian conservative leaders, both that are electeds, both that are running for elected office, as well as those that call themselves the precinct committee officers. And I'll tell you something, we haven't seen as much success as we have over the last 30 years over there in the northern Idaho panhandle with this last election cycle that occurred in May. And then in August for the Washington State primary, what we ended up seeing was those Christian conservative leaders right here in Spokane County move forward to the general election in November. And I'll tell you something else, too, ladies and gentlemen. It's not all about candidates. It's not all about Christian conservative leaders, as you're going to find out a little bit later on today. But we are going to be serving up a ballot measure for you folks to consider also, especially you folks here in Washington State. You know, in Idaho, in Oregon, and in Washington State, we are one of the few states here in the union so far to this day that still has that first right of the people, and that is the right to petition your government. We're talking about statewide initiatives, and we are going to be touching base with a gentleman here in just a few short minutes about that. Now, once again, folks, for all you new listeners out there, thank you so very much for joining us. And Pastor Bob, would you share with them our mission statement?
You know, the mission statement we wrote a long time ago, And it is based on the things of Christian conservative leadership and the Christian conservative radio. And it's to empower like-minded Christians who will be active in safeguarding our freedom and the way of life in our cities, counties, states, and country. These like-minded Christians will unite under the auspices of the Holy Bible, prayer, and fellowship, and the Christian conservative creed. Now, Mike, you know, sometimes corporations and businesses all develop a mission statement, but you know, really the heart of it is for Christians to move forward, get out of their seat while they still can.
That's right.
Get together and say, what can I do locally for what I can do to be an influence over this world? You know, I just see people coming and going in this world. I deal with a lot of estates, and I, as a pastor, I deal with people who are passing away. You know, you only have a short time in this life to do things. And as like-minded Christians and what we are in this country, there's a lot of things that influence us. And as a Christian right now, and a lot of people are listening to this program, the number one thing is to lead you to your faith in Jesus Christ. But right now with what's happening in this country recently, I want you to read that conservative creed, because a lot of things we have in there have brought people together who are like-minded because of these reasons.
Absolutely. And that is, we believe in the triune of God, the Father, His only Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Freedom, the Constitution, states' rights, justice, and we are going to be touching on justice for a couple minutes here in a little while, individual rights, the right to life, marriage, and let me be clear, ladies and gentlemen, the union of one man and one woman, personal responsibility, national security, fiscal responsibility, and finally, support for Israel.
Well, so important are those things in there, and you know, I get people all the time, Mike. They look at those things and they say, man, I agree with all of those.
You betcha.
You know, and it brings us together under these things because we're concerned about this country. You know, just simply some of the things we have here, our freedoms are flying away. The Constitution is being broken. The states' rights are being broken down. Man, it's hard to even find justice out there.
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you, and I'm about ready to serve up a wonderful illustration with regard to what we're talking about on justice. Now, justice, evenly administered under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, free of judiciary activism. Let me tell you what we got going on right here in our own Washington state, ladies and gentlemen. Our state Supreme Court, a left-leaning majority, has basically held our legislature in contempt because it is felt by the state Supreme Court that the legislature is not funding public education to the extent that is required by their interpretation of the state constitution. So I'll tell you something, folks, you know, for separation of powers, here we have a judiciary that is also an activist.
Well, just look it over in Idaho right now. We passed it for marriages between a man and a woman. You know, and that's the biblical marriage, and that was passed 8 years ago on the Constitution of the state of Idaho, and one judge steps up and says, you know, that's not right, we're not going to accept it. Now it's gone on to guess where they're trying to decide our case for Idaho at? In San Francisco, on the district court of the federal government in San Francisco. Now, how do you think they're going to decide? You know, it's all being fixed out there against everything for goodness, for righteousness, for all the things that we have accepted. You know, I'll tell you, when Christians believe in God and they accept God around them, God will be found of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But if you reject all the things of God, why would God want to have anything to do with us?
Well,
you know,
you're absolutely right.
Why wouldn't he lift his hand off, you know, of the greatest country on the face of the earth ever? And why wouldn't he just lift his hand off? I'm waiting for judgment, but he hasn't, you know. Judgment is coming upon us. I mean, we're talking about the right to life and the unborn and the 50 million killed. And it's just it's a tragedy, Mike.
It absolutely is. And you know something? We Christians can definitely be blamed
right, for
all of the social ills and conditions that exist in the United States today. I mean, we took a step back years ago, and that was a huge, huge mistake for Christians to do because we basically have relinquished all of those values that we held near and dear. Tradition that we used to have.
And who holds on to the values, Mike? Who holds to values but Christians, right?
That's right.
Not
absolutely.
The immoral, not the people who believe you can do anything, you know?
Gotcha.
And so why do you think God has blessed this nation? Because we held to so many things. So justice, in our concerted creed is a hard thing to find out there right now. And you've seen tragedy after tragedy where things happen to people and then there's no justice.
You betcha.
You know, and that's interesting because part of our deal today is going to be about justice. And part of our guest speaker is going to be about justice. And we're going to get to that here in just a little bit. But, Mike, I'll tell you, it's I'd like to share a Bible passage here. A lot
Please
of times
so.
We may be forlorn, and we may be in trouble out there, and we may say, look at our TV, and we're just ready to throw in the towel. But I'll tell you, the Scripture is pretty clear. We need to hang in there. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of power may be of God and not from ourselves. I mean, I like the way that starts out, you know, because if we're trying to find power in ourselves, we're not going to find it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find it by having your faith in God, and then he will give you the power. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing. So we may be crushed, but, you know, we maybe feel like we're afflicted, but we're not crushed completely. We're still there, and God can bring us through. Perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. So all of these things of the Lord and everything that we have, we need to trust in him, because we're going to go through these things. As if you make a stand for God, sometimes persecution will come, you know, but you'll get through it. And well, Mike, I probably have said enough, but I just it is really on my heart that people really start getting away from fear and that they start standing in the power of God.
That's right.
And then we can move ahead. Well, Mike, I'd like you to introduce our new guests here today.
Oh, you betcha. Definitely honored and privileged to do so. Well, you know, as I alluded to during the onset of this show, ladies and gentlemen, you know, Washington State is one of several here in our union still that has that power of the Citizens Initiative. And it just so happens in Washington State, there are two initiatives on the November ballot that the citizens here in Washington State are going to get an opportunity to vote on. One is known as Initiative 594, and an opposing initiative would be Initiative 591. Now, we're going to be talking to the sheriff of Chelan County right here from Washington State, a gentleman by the name of Brian Burnett. He's a Christian too, ladies and gentlemen, so he's got it going on. That is for sure. But he happens to be on the opposing side of Initiative 594, i.e. Initiative 591. He is one of a small handful of county sheriffs here in the 39 counties that we have in Washington State that are opposing Initiative 594. So Lee, please, let's welcome Sheriff Brian Burnett. Welcome, Sheriff.
Gentlemen, it's very good to be here.
Oh, you betcha. Let's dive right into this thing, please. What is Initiative 594 all about? I mean, you know, people may have heard a little bit about this. What we're talking about is a way that the government is going to be able to confiscate our guns.
Well, the big money backers on this are going to tell you it's a universal background check. It's going to keep the guns out of the hands of the violent criminals. And who wouldn't want that, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. We all want that.
Right.
We want to keep our communities, our homes safe. Absolutely. I agree with that. But when you read this 18-page initiative, and I read through it again this morning, and I didn't just read it once. I read it one time through, but I kept having to go back and back and back because trying to figure out what that language meant. How did that affect us at the sheriff's office? How does that affect me as a citizen myself? Take
yes.
the sheriff title off of it. You know, what do I have to look forward for my children, my grandchildren? And so as I look at that, there's a lot of hidden agendas here. Some of the language is very vague and generic. It gives us grave concern that potentially what they're looking at is this is one, and I wouldn't just call it a small step. If 594 was to pass and 591 failed, then what you have is a huge step towards gun registration.
Oh, you betcha. Well, you know, I understand some of the other little nitpicky things that are in this initiative here would be things like, you know, as a father, passing a .22 long rifle down to my son would not be allowed anymore. I could not allow allow my brother or allow my father to borrow a handgun to go to the shooting range or go out plinking or anything like that without that universal background check. Gun shows are now going to be verboten as far as, you know, universal lack of universal background checks. I mean, it is definitely a far-reaching
initiative. Well, if you don't know what verboten is, that means forbidden.
Oh, you bet.
But everybody knows. But, Mike, well, no, it's something else out there. Now, you know, Pastor Bob, I support gun rights in the United States. And I support the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all the things that are there. And, boy, I'll tell you, there has been – it's not just about taking away your gun. It's about taking away your freedom.
You bet.
And, you know, and the things that they do. And it's been a real – you saw in this administration we're going through right now. I mean, they were going to make an attempt to take away all rights to have guns in the United States. I mean, it caused a panic. And guess what it did? It outfitted everybody in the whole United States with more guns. There wasn't even already a bullet on the shelf there for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And because everybody's worried that they're going to take away this freedom that we've possessed for 240 years.
You bet. Well, Sheriff, you know, I understand through circles and whatnot that the funders, the backers of this particular initiative, 594, are the millionaires, the billionaires. Have they actually been successful in getting any real people money back this thing?
Well, let's add that they don't even live here. Now, some of them do. Obviously, Paul Allen is a big person that's a player in this. But Bloomberg from New York, clear across the country. So he's got some agenda there, some big agenda.
Oh, yeah. You bet. It's, and he's given millions to this particular campaign. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. When you take a look at the public disclosure reports, I don't recall seeing any individuals, people like you and I.
Well, these people are elitists. I mean, we know what Bloomberg's done. I mean, he tries to infiltrate every bit of your life and tell you what to do, what you can eat, what you can drink, how big your drink can be. I mean, these people are unbelievable, you know, what they, and they think that they know everything better than everybody else, but they're pretty much do not understand.
And, oh, you bet.
And as of today, as I sit here today, I'm just one of 15 sheriffs that have openly for Washington State opposed this. And I know I've had conversations with other ones. There's 39 sheriffs in the state of Washington. So obviously there's another, 24 out there that haven't come out openly saying they oppose it. But most of the ones that I've talked to do say that they oppose it, whether or not they're willing to come out politically and make that statement. They have not done that. But we've had the talks. They're not in favor of it on the majority by any means.
Uh-huh. You betcha. Well, let's kind of shift gears a little bit here, Sheriff. How about a little background on you? You know, where did you grow up? How did you get involved in law enforcement, things like that? A little bit of information with regard to your walk with Christ.
Well, I did grow up in a little town of Leavenworth known as the Bavarian Village.
That's cool.
In the beautiful county of Chelan. Shortly out of high school, I took off and started working in the timber industry, which eventually I married into the business because I married the boss's daughter. But I spent 10 years in that industry, and you know, and it taught me a lot of lessons. It taught me how to work hard, which sometimes is a lost thing in our culture, and it taught me the appreciation of a hard-earned dollar. Now, saying that, after I'd been married for several years and had three young children, and I was looking at my future and what the logging industry was going to do, I said, you know what? I think there's something here that I need to change. I need to be able to spend just a little more time with my wife and with my kids and things like that. And so I started looking at what were my interests. And the only thing that I had interest in, and I really believe that the Lord put it on my heart, was to go into law enforcement. So we, with the passing of my father back in 1996, we relocated our family back to Washington State. And I started that pursuit into law enforcement. And without a college education, I was a little limited on what I could do with my resources and getting into that field of work. So I moved forward and went through the Chelan County Reserve Academy. I tested for our jail, and there were some things that I was specifically looking at is that I wanted to be able to use some experience there to get myself hired as a field deputy and move on into law enforcement. So I was able to do that within about a couple years working for the jail. I got hired as a field deputy in fall of 1999.
Oh, you
bet. And then I worked my way up. I worked as a patrol corporal, as a sergeant. I've been a school resource officer. I've been on a regional SWAT team for 8 years. And everything about law enforcement, I really, really enjoyed. The Lord's been good to me. He's been good to my family. And then one day, out of nowhere, I felt like the Lord was moving me on. And I came up with this wild idea to move to Idaho and go into business with my brother-in-law. And I stepped out of law enforcement. And I wasn't gone 2 months. And I felt like that I'd left my heart behind.
Oh, boy.
I really felt like. So I had to sit down and talk to my brother-in-law and said, you know what? I have left to go back into law enforcement. And that was right about 2008 when the economy was down, and we had purchased a house in southern Idaho. And through a series of events, I made it back to Chelan County and came back to work. And I remember when I left, I was a sergeant, so I gave up all those that structure and what I had built for. And I came back as the low man on the pole on seniority and worked as a deputy. And when I came back, I just really felt led that the county was in some really, really drastic need of some leadership within our sheriff's office, because we're not just leaders to the people that serve as our employees. We're leaders to the rest of the departments in our county, to our community, to our schools and different things like that. And we needed some real teamwork mentality, some servant leadership to move forward. I was scared to death. I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know a thing about politics. And I just thought that when I reached out to the first person that was a friend of mine and said, "Hey, I got this idea. What do you think about me running for sheriff?" And I thought they would say I was crazy, forget it, go on, and that would be the end of the story. And the next thing I know is they're encouraging me, and we're going on. And we had a tremendous grassroots event, and the rest is history. And I've been serving as a sheriff for just under 4 years now.
Beautiful. Well, that's great, man. There's how many people over there in Chelan County?
We're around 75, 76,000 people total. But if you take in consideration with the Columbia River, you have Chelan County on the west side of the river, and you have Douglas County on the east side, and you have Wenatchee and the east Wenatchee cities, you're really looking at 100,000 people coming and going. And then we have a great recreational area there.
Yeah.
And a lot of people love to come to the sunny side of the state and enjoy what we have to offer.
How many sheriffs do you have in Chelan County?
We have 59 commissioned within the sheriff, with the sheriff's office that are our patrol deputies. That's not including the jail. That's not including Wenatchee Police Department, anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you know, you happened to mention before the show started today, Sheriff, that you became a Christian at 19. Could you elaborate a little on that?
Just right out of high school. You know, I could have been the regular statistic, you know, drinking and partying with the buddies on the weekend.
Sure, sure.
With no direction. And believe it or not, my wife, now of 27 years at the time, had reached out to me and invited me to church and tried to get me involved. And I tried to run from it. I tried to hide from it. And obviously, you know, he was knocking on the door awful hard. And I'm glad that I finally woke up and listened. And he transformed my life. And
it's
been a great ride since then. Well, it's interesting because, you know, when I first got saved, I wasn't one of those persons that was out on the sidewalk in the schools reaching out to my buddies. I was really trying to figure out what did I need to do to become strong in my new convictions. Uh-huh. And so shortly after that, I moved to California. I was a young logger and then got married and such. But then with the death of my father, it was funny because I had never had a desire to move back to Washington State. And the Lord brought that full circle.
Yeah.
And it's amazing when we step out in faith, if we didn't, what rewards would we miss out on?
So you feel like the Lord's been guiding your life all along through thick and thin.
I really look at that as saying, how many times have I missed the call because I refused to answer it?
Yeah, well, that is the big problem with us, isn't it?
Yes.
Sometimes the call is out there and we miss it.
You bet. Well, Sheriff, you know, we're down to about 2 minutes left in today's show here. We definitely would like to see if you can't close us in prayer here in just a couple of minutes. But before we end up going there, you know, give us your opinion. What the heck is going on in the United States with the lack of fellow Christian and their activity?
I had a godly man recently tell me not too long ago. He said, you know, Brian, he says, you're going to have an attack. We're not going to be exempt from those things. But when you walk in God's leading, the reason for this is because we live in a spiritual world and there is spiritual warfare out there, is that the enemy does not like good leadership and he hates godly leadership.
Uh-huh.
And I'd love to share scripture. You offered it, so I want to do it. You know, one of the things that the verse that's really spoke to me heavily here recently is Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn, you as in the Lord. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. It's not from me personally. It's from the Lord, our Savior. And I walk and I live and I'm going to die on that. And let's go back to that, because it doesn't say that the weapon's not going to get pointed towards you. I feel like like they're firing at us all the time.
Yes.
At the same time, we can look right back to Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. But really, I can do nothing without Christ.
Uh-huh.
And so I would just like to encourage the listeners out there, you know, listen to the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's it.
Because he's talking.
You.
He's
that's
talking.
True.
If we would slow down and listen, he's going to take you on a ride that is just incredible. And it doesn't mean there aren't bumps and there aren't valleys. But when he's leading, it's the only way to go.
Well, that's it. Brian, would you like to close us in prayer?
I would. Thank you, gentlemen. Heavenly Father, we just bless your name. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to share today and go before you and to deliver your message, not ours. Heavenly Father, encourage our listeners, encourage ourselves personally here at the studio to be obedient to you, not just on a yearly, monthly, weekly, but minute by minute, Lord. Guide and direct us and raise up the leaders in your name. Amen.
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 And with
all
that,
right,
ladies and gentlemen, as we head on out the door again, www.rallyright.org. Give us a call, 208-987-0005. Fathers, grandfathers out there, grab the family, glorify and praise God. Give that family a great big hug and a kiss. Tell them you love them. Take them somewhere nice. We'll see you next time.